Pilate's question, are you the king of the Jews? This question we meet right at the beginning of our gospel passage, and it's really a question that lies at the heart of our passage. In the Greek, it's an interesting construction because the emphasis in the question, it lies on the word you, as if to convey a sense of disbelief or amazement by Pilate. Are you the king of the Jews? Are you really a king? That's the question that we meet this morning. And the truth is, this question, it doesn't just concern Pilate, but it concerns us as well. It's a question that's not just central to our passage, but it's a question that is central to our lives. Each one of us wants to ask Jesus, are you really the king? Or is this just some fantasy concocted by some desperate people? Are you the king? As Malone said at the beginning of the service, today is Christ the King Sunday. It's the last Sunday in the Christian liturgical year. Next Sunday, we begin a new year with the first Sunday in Advent. But on this last Sunday, the church makes a really bold confession. It proclaims that the one who was born in Bethlehem, the one who revealed himself to the Gentiles, the one who entered the wilderness and was tempted, the one who was crucified and killed, the one who rose from the dead, the one who ascended into heaven, the one who gave the Spirit, that one, when it's all said and done, at the end of the day, that one is king. King of kings and Lord of lords. That's what we proclaim this Sunday. And yet, I think if we're honest, all of us have a little part in us that's like Pilate. We wonder, Jesus, are you really the King of Kings? Now, Pilate's question we can understand. I mean, Jesus was standing before him. His hands were bound. His lip was cut. He had a puffy face because he had been hit by some high priest guard. And so Pilate's looking at him, and it just seems highly unlikely that here stands a descendant of David wanting to claim the throne of Israel. We can understand why Pilate would ask this question, are you really a king? But you and I, we've got similar reasons for asking. Maybe it's not because we see Jesus with a puffy face. Maybe it's because we see so much misery in this life. If Jesus was king, if his hand was on the till, wouldn't you expect something better? I mean, life can seem so random, so helter-skelter. Is Jesus really reigning as king? I can remember early in my time serving at St. Paul's in Murfreesboro, and early on there, we had a young Jewish woman who began to come to church. She had some friends among the young parents, so she was part of that community, and she was coming to explore the church and the faith. And so I got to talk to her a number of times, and one of those times, we were talking about belief and her struggles with believing the gospel. And I remember her telling me that as she was growing up, she had always been told that when the Messiah came, the anointed one, that he would usher in a time of great peace. And yet she looked around the world and she didn't see a lot of peace. Jesus, are you really king? Now, when Pilate asked this question of Jesus, Jesus' response is another question. He says to Pilate, do you say this of yourself, or do you say it because others are saying it about me? In other words, is this something you're wondering because you've seen something in me that's left you questioning Or are you just mouthing the words of my accusers? You know, this question, it'd be like Jesus asking us this morning. When you sang that hymn right before the gospel was read, and you proclaimed this was the first verse of our hymn. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now. Jesus' question to Pilate is like him asking us, when you sang that, did you say it because you believed it or because you were simply repeating the words printed on the page? So Jesus responds to Pilate with this question. And, you know, Pilate, at this point in the game, he's kind of had enough. And he says to Jesus, look, what am I? A Jew? I mean, as far as Pilate's concerned, this man with this cut lip, bound hands, he's clearly no threat to Pilate, and he's clearly no threat to Caesar and the empire. And so he says to Jesus, look, I don't have a dog in this fight. It's your people who brought you to me. So why did they do it? Why are you here? And that's when Jesus says this. He says, my kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. So this is the first thing that Jesus says about his kingship in this passage. He says, my kingship and my kingdom is not from this world. You know, in the Gospels, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God a lot. In fact, he talks about it more than anything else. He talks about it more often than he talks about money or sex or faith or love. You know, he begins his ministry by saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In Luke 4, he says, I've got to go out to the towns and I've got to proclaim the kingdom of God. And I have to do this because this is why I came. His parables, so many of them, are descriptions of the kingdom of God. He's all about the kingdom. And so what does Jesus mean when he says that his kingdom is not from this world? Does it mean that it's just spiritual rather than dealing with the nitty-gritty of daily life? Does it mean that this is all a private, personal affair? My relationship with Christ has nothing to do with politics or economics or my wallet? No, of course it doesn't mean that. When Jesus says that the kingdom is not from this world, what he means is that its base, its source, its ground is not found in Jerusalem, not found in Rome, not found in Washington, D.C. or Nashville. Rather, his kingdom doesn't originate from these places, right? This is a statement about origin. Instead, it's rooted and grounded in the throne room of God, right? His kingdom and his kingship come from God. And therefore, because it's from God and not from the world, it's altogether different than the finite kingdoms of this world. It operates differently. He speaks about this when he says, if it was of this world, my followers would fight for me, but they don't because it's different. Right? His kingdom is more than the kingdoms of this world. It's everlasting. It's more true. It's more real. It's the kingdom that will have the final word in God's creation because, again, it comes from God. So Jesus says, again, my kingdom is not from this world. It is different than your kingdoms. Now, Pilate at this point, he's a little confused, understandably. And so he asks, so you are a king? And then Jesus says this last thing about his kingdom. He says, yes and no. Yes, I am a king, but I don't want you defining what it means to be a king. He says, you say that I am a king, for this I was born, And for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. I came into the world to testify to the truth, and those who belong to the truth listen to my voice. Here, Jesus here is saying that his kingdom is a kingdom of truth. And I'll say, in a culture like ours that sometimes questions the very existence of truth, truth with a capital T, this is a claim that truth can be known. And Jesus here, he has come to bear witness to this truth, to bear witness to the truth of who God is, God's purpose for the world, and who we are. And so when we watch Jesus, when we see him embrace children, when we see him stop a funeral procession and raise the dead, when we see him heal the sick and preach the good news of the kingdom, when we see him bearing our sins on a cross, when we see this, we are seeing truth. We're seeing God's presence among us. God has come into our world, and there he is, a witness to what is real. That's what Jesus is claiming to be, a witness to the truth. You know, earthly kingdoms, they conquer by force or fear or manipulation. But Jesus, he conquers with the truth. He says, everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. And what he's saying here is that when people see him, when they watch him, listen to him, if they have the eyes to see, they will see the truth. Something in them will recognize that this is real and this deserves to be followed. And what happens then, and this is how the kingdom works in our lives, this truth, it forces us to reimagine and reconfigure our world. It forces us to reorientate our way of life. And in doing so, it sets us free. As Jesus says earlier in John's gospel, you will know the truth. Again, truth with a capital T. And the truth will make you free, right? It makes us free to receive God's love and forgiveness. Makes us free to approach him without fear and free to see others through God's eyes. And so that's what Jesus is claiming, that his kingdom is a kingdom of truth. Kingdom of truth that frees us to live in a new way and to follow him. Now it's interesting, our lectionary passage, it ends right here. And I don't exactly know why, because this isn't the end of the conversation. There's one more word spoken. And that's Pilate's response to Jesus. Pilate listens to all this talk about truth, seeing the truth, witnessing to the truth. And he famously ends the conversation by saying, "What is truth?" And he walks out. He gives his answer. He doesn't see the truth of Jesus. He doesn't sense that this is real, someone to follow, and so he turns away. And of course, what we're left with is this question, what about us? You know, in a sense, the entire liturgical year, the entire church year is building to this question. Can we say that Christ is King? I mean, we've walked with Jesus for a year through his birth, his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection. Again, we've spent a whole year with him. And so the church asks on this last Sunday, after what we've experienced, after what we've seen, do we think he's true? Does something inside us, maybe something we can't even verbalize to ourselves, but does something inside us tell us that his witness is real and deserves to be followed. If we can say yes to that, then we're invited once again here at the end of the year to submit ourselves to this truth and to live our life in the light of this witness. We're invited once again to proclaim that Christ is King, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus, are you really the King? Amen.